Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. We are truly thankful to the Lord for His goodness to us. He's so faithful. He's so kind. He's so merciful. It's an honor and a privilege to serve Him, to be called by Him, to be used by Him. I trust God that you are blessed, you and your family, you and your loved ones. And it's priceless, the opportunity that God has given to us to be able to always come around the Word of God. I know that for so many different reasons, a lot of people are not able to join in real time. But if that happens to be you sometimes, make sure you commit to at a later time, make it a priority to get around that word and just study with us. The Word of God is the backbone of our spirit. There's no replacement. There's nothing that can take the place of God's word in our lives. Hallelujah. It's through the word that we are established in the things of God. We're established in our covenant with God. We're established in our spiritual walk, in our purpose. Hallelujah. So I encourage you as often as you can to join us. Whenever you are not able to join in real time, get around the word. We do our best. The Holy Spirit really helps us to keep it simple. And the blessing of the virtual teaching service is that regardless of distance, regardless of geographical location, people are able to benefit and be blessed by these teachings wherever they are. So thank you so much, whatever platform you're joining us on tonight. I'm so thankful. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you again tonight. We thank you for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty Holy Spirit and his mighty presence. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us, your goodness to us, your loving kindness, your grace, your favor, your mercy. Father, thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining us tonight, or who is receiving this teaching at a later time. I pray, God, that your blessings might be upon them, everyone under the sound of my voice. Father God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit might touch them wherever they are tonight. Do something outstanding. Do something unique and something powerful and supernatural in the lives of your people. Father, I give you the glory and I give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. For so many weeks now, we have been studying together the believer's authority and dominion. We have just given so much time to discussing the fundamentals, the foundations, and all the different principles out of the Word of God. The fact that all authority belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died and rose from the dead, he said in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16 from verse 15, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And then he said to his disciples, go therefore. And of course, we know in Luke chapter 10 from verse 19, he said, behold, I give unto you all authority over every power of the devil. And he said, we will tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing will by any means hurt us. We have authority. We know Satan does have some power, but God has given to us authority over all of his power. Amen. And we have talked extensively more recently about the need for us to always remind ourselves about the source of our authority. God himself is the source of our authority, our help, our authority, our grace, our deliverances from him. It is through him and through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that the power of God is made manifest in our lives in every area of our experiences. Amen. So we've done, the Lord has really helped us, and we've covered a lot of ground. Of course, one of our theme scriptures has been Matthew 16, from verse 16 all the way down to 19, to 20, 21, where Jesus said to the disciples and to Peter, "You are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And then he said, I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We took some time recently to talk about the weapons of our warfare, the keys of the kingdom of God that we have been given. And a lot of this sounds like we are expected to use the authority that we have been given. Now, yes, we are. Our authority is like that rod of Moses, right? It was given to us for a purpose. It's not just a badge of honor. Praise God, it is a badge of honor. But there is much more to the authority that we have been given than just for us to be able to parade it and talk about how we have it. No, we are supposed to use it. We are supposed to exercise that authority. Authority is useless if we don't exercise it, if we don't take it and use it. Hallelujah. So we've talked a lot about that, and authority is certainly a lot of offense. The weapons of our warfare, a lot of those are weapons of offense and some defense. But from this service tonight, for a few weeks, a few sessions, we're going to be talking a lot about the defensive aspect of our spiritual authority and dominion. Praise God, it is awesome to be able to go out and take authority, peace be still, where we see the works of the enemy, stop him, and loose people, set people free, set the captives free, and look at situations, storms, and difficult situations that the enemy is trying to create around our lives, and to take authority in the name of Jesus and to stop him. That is so powerful and that is awesome. However, there is also an aspect to spiritual authority and dominion, whereas believers, we are supposed to play some defense, right? So we go on offense, we cast out devils, we bind, we lose, but we are also to do some defending. We are supposed to protect ourselves. We're supposed to be vigilant. We're supposed to be undercover. We're supposed to put ourselves in positions where Satan cannot limit us. Satan cannot gain the advantage over us. Satan cannot stop us. He can't defeat us. He can gain the upper hand over our lives. Hallelujah. And so we see how it is so important that as God's children, we understand, we learn the powerful principles that enable us to stand in our place of protection, where Satan cannot defeat us, where he can't get the best of us. The number of scriptures we're going to read, we're going to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, do a few things. This is really, really important, right? It is extremely important that we do not let Satan take advantage of us. Just think about how many people are listed in the Word of God. We could go through book after book, and in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and you would see people whom the enemy actually took advantage of. In the New Testament, one of the most common examples that come to mind, the seven sons of Sceva, who were trying to cast out a demonic spirit from a demonized person. And that devil jumped on them and beat them black and blue, right? And they had no defense. We read a lot about people like Judas, right, who the Bible actually says Satan entered into him. How does that happen to an apostle? to someone who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually walked with Christ. In fact, it was not just that he walked with Christ. He was the treasurer of that ministry. He played a very significant role. You know how many times, if you, you know, theologians tell us, money was one of the common things that the Lord Jesus Christ taught about: resources, gifts, talents, money. And here is this treasurer. He's the person who's keeping the resources that God sent into that ministry to help them, to manage them, to organize them, to execute the, some of the different tasks that that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to get done. And this treasurer, this disciple, actually got to a place where the Bible says he wasn't just open to the work of the enemy. Satan actually entered into him. Satan entered into him. Glory to God. We know people like Peter. Peter was also, you know, a foremost apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know Satan did try. He did attempt to assault Peter, to defeat him. And Peter tripped up. But praise God, he stood. And the end of Peter's story is that he won the victory. But we can't say the same thing about Judas. Judas had a terrible end. Satan didn't just trip him up. Satan absolutely destroyed him completely. There's no good end. There's nothing good that we can recount about the end of a man like Judas. If you go back to the Old Testament, there are a number of situations like that. To Adam and Eve, Satan got the best of them, took advantage of them, right? Cain, Satan took advantage of him. You can go further on in the prophets, Samuel, First and Second Samuel, King Saul. One time, the Bible says the demonic spirit entered into him. Right? Satan took advantage of him, got the better. And all these people really did not have great ends. They didn't end well. Satan tripped them up, but Satan also got the upper hand over them. Well, may that not be your situation, and may that not be my situation in the name of Jesus Christ. God has given us authority, but he has also, through his word, admonished us about how we stand our ground and about how we position ourselves in such a way that Satan can't take advantage of us. Let's read a few scriptures here. I know time runs really quickly. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, the Bible says here in the King James, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Don't give place to the devil. Why? Because if you give him a little place, he'll take the advantage over you. Don't give him place. There are a number of other translations I want to read here. Hallelujah. The CEV says, don't give the devil a chance. Don't give him a chance. Don't give the devil a chance. We're talking about our place in being protected from the assault of the enemy. We're talking about our place. Yes, we know we are supposed to exercise authority over the devil. We know we're supposed to bind and loose and stop and take charge and take dominion. And glory to God, that's awesome. But there's also a place where we need to be under God's protection, where we need to stand in our rightful place so that Satan is not able to take advantage of us. Glory to God. Look at it. In the English Standard Version, it says, give no opportunity to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. You see, there are little ways in which the enemy comes. He doesn't, usually when the enemy attacks, when he tries to trip us up, he doesn't come looking like the devil, announcing himself as the devil and sounding scary. No. You know, when he came in the Garden of Eden, and I know in the course of this next week or two, we're going to read that story in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, when he came to Eve. He didn't come to Eve looking scary. He came to Eve looking like, you know, this nice animal, which we know he is not. Hallelujah. And deceived her. Satan is the master of deception. He is the king of cunningness and craftiness. And some of the scriptures we read that we're going to read in these sessions actually also spell that out. Look at that. God's word, don't give the devil any opportunity to walk. Don't give the devil any opportunity to walk. Don't give him any opportunity to walk. The Amplified says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Don't give him an opportunity to walk. Don't give Satan an opportunity to walk around your life in your life. And that's what we want to focus on a lot in this next set of our Bible studies. Don't give him an opportunity to walk. Don't give him place. Don't give him room. Hallelujah. Amen. The Message says, don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Amen. Don't give him that kind of foothold. Now, but I really like this one. I like this particular translation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me make sure that I have this right. This is it. This is the easy to read version. The easy to read version of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. It says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. I really, really like it. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Well, if the Bible says don't give the devil a way to defeat you, it means that Satan, if we give him a way, if we give him a chance, there are actually ways in which he can defeat us. That if we let our guards down, if we don't pay attention, if we get careless, and if we lose focus, and if we're not standing our ground, if we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do, Satan will find a way to defeat us. He says, don't, the easier to read version, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. It means you as a child of God, you can play into the hands of the devil. You can give the devil a way to defeat you. Yes, you have spiritual authority. Yes, you are anointed by God. Yes, Jesus gave you all authority over every power of the enemy. But if you are not doing what you ought to do, you can give Satan a way to defeat you. You can play into his hands. You can let him have his way. You can allow his trickery to dominate you. Glory to God. Don't give the devil a way. Don't give him a way to defeat you. This is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Glory to God. I like many of the other translations, but I think that's the one I like the best. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Now, you remember there was a time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when they were accusing him of casting out devils. They said he was casting out devils by Beelzebub. That's one of the idols of their time. So in essence, they were saying Jesus was casting out the devil by the devil. And there's just a very important principle that I want us to look at here before we read these other New Testament scriptures, talking about us standing our ground, being firm, and not allowing the enemy to take advantage of us. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 29, I want us to read this, right? So in let's read this actually from, let's read it from verse 24. Well, let's read it from verse 22. Then, this is Matthew chapter 12 from verse 22. I'm going to go all the way to verse 29. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed the man, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this the son of David? Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. So they're saying in essence, oh, don't pay attention to him because He's not using the anointing of God. It's not the power of God that he's using to cast out devils or take authority over devils. No, he's actually one of the representatives of the devil casting out devils by the power of the devil. I want you to listen to what Jesus said to them. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, in verse 25, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. So that means if you have a house, if you have an organization, if you have a church, if you have a family, if you have a nation, any organization, any entity that is divided against itself will not stand. It's one of the greatest tricks of the devil to pull down homes, to pull down families, to pull down churches, to pull down nations, is to use the spirit of division, right? We know a lot of tools that Satan uses. Sometimes he can use fear. Sometimes he can use confusion. He can use so many of them. But one of the greatest tools of the enemy that he actually uses to create fruitlessness and to destroy the fruits that God invests in the lives of his people is through the spirit of division. Jesus said, if the devil casts out the devil, listen, he says, it's every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house that is divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? Right? So they said he is casting out devils by the power of Satan himself. Jesus said, well, if that was true, then Satan's kingdom cannot stand. Let's read this further. Verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And in verse 28, he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, if it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which we know it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we know it's him exercising the authority of God that enables him to actually dominate Satan and dominate his cohorts. We know that's exactly what was happening in the life and ministry of Jesus. Then he says, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. That is the power of God, the dominion of God, right? The kingdom of God is the system of God's domain, right? That runs through the dominion of God himself, right? So he says, if that is what is enabling me to cast out devils and take and exercise superiority over Satan, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Now, listen to this last verse here, though, in verse 29. It says, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will destroy his house? How can one go into the house of a strong man and take what belongs to that strong man without first binding that strong man and paralyzing that strong man and making him ineffective, and then you would have the ability to take what belongs to him? The Lord is saying, I am, Satan is a strong man, but I am stronger than he is. And the proof of that is that I have the ability to bind him. And this is representative of every believer. Yes, Satan is strong. Yes, Satan has some power, but we are stronger than he is. We have authority over every power of the enemy. You have authority over every power of the enemy, right? So because we have the ability to bind the work of Satan, we can then go into his territory and we can set the captives free. Remember, that's where this whole story began from. Jesus set the captive free. There was a man who was sick. There's a man who was in bondage. He couldn't speak. He was dumb. He was blind and he was dumb. And he couldn't see. He couldn't speak. And Jesus took authority over him. The Bible says in verse 24, in verse 22, then was brought unto him that man that was possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both speak and saw. Jesus took authority over that blind and dumb spirit, and the man was set free. The captive was set free. Jesus is saying, I am able to set the captives free, because even though Satan is strong to hold them in captivity, I am stronger and I can release them from the captivity of the enemy. Hallelujah. And that same principle applies to every believer. Satan is strong, but you are stronger. If you are born again, if you know your place in Christ, if you have received your authority from Jesus and you are exercising that authority and dominion, you are stronger. You have the ability to dominate the work of the kingdom of darkness. You can go into territories where Satan has reigned and you can forbid him. You can tell him to stop. You can go into your family, areas where you have been given spiritual jurisdiction, and you can set people free. You can lose them from the captivity of the enemy. Hallelujah. So this is, the Lord is saying, Satan is strong, but I'm stronger. So when you are stronger than a strong man, you can bind him, and then you can go into his house and you can set the captives free. You can take the spoils. You can take the things that belong to him. Hallelujah. That's what you and I do, because we have authority and we exercise it. However, I want you to understand this, that Satan also tries to operate by this principle. It's very interesting. You know, Satan is a copycat. He can't create anything, does not have the ability to create anything. But he perverts. He has the ability to pervert. So a great creation, a lovely creation of God, something beautiful that the Lord made, Satan can go take it and pervert it. And that's his MO. That's exactly how he operates. Glory to God. Amen. And so what Satan does is, Satan comes against believers using this same principle. And Satan says to believers, you are a strong man, but I am stronger. And I'm going to bind you, and I'm going to take what belongs to you. He says to a believer, you are a strong woman, but I'm stronger, right? And I'm going to come into your territory, your family. I'm going to come into your territory. Yeah, the things that matter to you, the things that are important to you. I'm going to come in there. I'm going to bind you. I'm going to come into your territory. I'm going to spoil you. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to wreak a havoc over the blessings of God that have been given to you in your life. Remember, you have spiritual authority and dominion, but Satan is going to contest that. Satan is going to come at you and at me. He's going to contest with us. He's going to contend with us. Contention is the MO of Satan, of our adversary. Remember, I tried to contend with Jesus in the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He came at him. He tried to attack him. Satan's MO is to try to say to you, you don't have what you believe you have. It's to try to confuse you. You are not able to do what you think you are able to do. Oh, you believe the word of God? You believe that promise is for you? No, that promise is really not for you. It's for people that are better than you. That's Satan's MO. You know, that's exactly what he did from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And we're going to go back at some point and we're going to read what he did with Eve at the very beginning, right? He would come and say, you think God is going to do that? He told you he's going to do that. No, he's not going to do that. This is what he's going to do. He's a liar. And all he's trying to do is to find out, do you know your place? Are you protected? Right? Or like Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 says, are you going to give him a chance to defeat you? Like we read in the easy to read version of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. Are you going to give the devil a way to defeat you? By believing his lies. Are you going to do that? I know you believe in spiritual authority. You believe as a child of God you have dominion. But are you going to give Satan a way to defeat you? Are you going to play into his hands? Are you going to be careless? Are you going to give him a chance to take hold of territory that God has given to you? Are you going to let him strip you of the blessings that God has endowed you with? Not me, not me, not me, and not you. Not you. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 10. Satan comes, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they may have life, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. More abundantly. Say that with me. More abundantly. Amen. Amen. So, he said, Jesus said, for you to take what belongs to a strong man, one, you have to be stronger than him. And two, you have to be able to bind him. And three, then you have to be able to go into his territory and take the things that belong to him. Even though he's a strong man, even though she's a strong woman. But if you are stronger, then you can do all of that. And that's what Satan wants to. He wants us to believe. Satan wants to stand against us. He wants to contend with us. Amen. Satan wants to, he wants to say to us and convince us, the word of God, this word of God is not true. That God said you are the healed of the Lord, forget, it's not true. That the Lord said you are prosperous, he'll supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that's not true, forget it. That the Lord says you'll be the head and not the tail, he said whatever you put your hands upon to do will prosper, forget that, that's not true. That's what Satan wants us to believe. But we are, hallelujah, we're full of the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened so that we know the things that belong to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have a revelation of the resurrection. We know that all authority belongs to Jesus, and that authority has been given to us. And now we stand our ground and we use it. Amen. Amen. Let's go and read in 1 Peter chapter 5. I really like this scripture very much. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to read a couple more scriptures in the New Testament before we close tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. Let me throw this out at you. Glory to God. Let's just focus a little bit on the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two of them, I've mentioned them earlier on in this service. Peter and Judas. Satan came against both of them. He was able to trip both of them up, but one of them got back up and took his place and became a foremost apostle after the Lord Jesus Christ had left in the early church. The other one also tripped up, but never got up, never got back up. And the Bible tells us Satan took him over. Satan dominated his life until he perished completely. Satan took everything that he had until that man, there was hardly any evidence that that man ever walked with Christ. That's Satan's MO. Well, obviously, Jesus prayed for both of them. He prayed for both of them. He told us that he prayed for both of them. Why was it that one of them survived and overcame the attack of the enemy, but the other one did not? Why? Well, he tells us, the one who overcame, the one who survived and overcame, he tells us how that happened. The one who perished, who was dominated by Satan and who perished, didn't live to tell the story. It's all the story of our spiritual authority and dominion. Amen? Let's read right here. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. This is Peter writing to the church. He is the one who survived the attack of the enemy. He ought to know what he knows what he's talking about. This man knows what he's talking about. He's the one who overcame. He tripped up. He fell. But he got back up. He stood his ground. And he won the victory. And became one of the most outstanding apostles of the early church. This man knows what he's talking about. Well, what did he say? He said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober. Now, he's telling us to play some defense. We know we have authority and dominion. We know whatever we bind is bound. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we lose on earth is losing them. Glory to God, the authority in the name of Jesus works. Yes. But this man, Peter the apostle, who Satan didn't just try to drag down, he succeeded a little bit, but who got up and won the victory over Satan and had an enduring legacy and finished his race well, finished his destiny and his course, the course of his calling well. This man is telling us we must also play some defense. It's awesome to bind and to lose. It's awesome to speak the word. It's awesome to plead the blood of Jesus. But we must play some defense. We must be protected. We must stay under cover. We must take our place, our rightful place, so that our authority can work. We must not give Satan a way to defeat us. Like Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, in the easy to read version, we must not give Satan a way to defeat us. We already know Satan will find a way. And if you give him that way, he will defeat you. Satan is going to do everything in his power to find a way to defeat us. But Peter is telling us, both from the word of God, from the revelation of the word of God, and from his own personal experience, he's telling us how to not fall victim to the assault of the enemy. Let's read this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Right? Be sober. Be vigilant. So be sober means be well balanced in your mind. Be well balanced in your mind. Have a sound mind. Be peaceful. Be calm. Be collected. In fact, the Amplified Bible, he described it this way in verse 8. He said, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. So that means as a child of God, we have God's authority, but our mind has a lot to do with our ability to stand our ground when Satan attacks us. Our minds being well balanced, being sober, being sound, being renewed to the word of God, right? If our minds are not well balanced, if they are not renewed to the word of God, then we are going to give Satan a way. We are going to make way for the devil and he's going to defeat us. But Peter says, be sober. Then he says, be vigilant. The Amplified Bible describes that as, it says, be vigilant. He says, be vigilant and cautious at all times. That is, be on your guard. Be on your guard. He said, for because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. So he can devour some people, not because he has the power to do it, not because they don't have the authority to stop him, but because they are not playing their right defense. They are not doing the things that they ought to be doing. Satan can go into a strong man's house, into a strong woman's house, and he can bind them, and he can steal and kill and destroy, and he can take the things that belong to them because they are not doing what is expected of them. They are not sober in their minds. They are not vigilant. They are not cautious. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Right? The Amplified Bible says, for that enemy of yours, the devil, he roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce anger, in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Well, let's tell him, you may not devour me. Satan, you may not devour anything that belongs to me. You may not devour me. You may not devour any member of my family. You may not devour my loved ones. You may not devour the resources that God has given unto me. You may not devour my destiny. You may not devour my purpose. You may not devour my vision. You may not devour anything that belongs to me. Let's tell him that. How do we tell him? By being sober. By being vigilant at all times. Being cautious. Being on guard at all times. Amen. And then he takes it further in verse 9. Listen to this now. In the King James, he says, whom, talking about the devil, you the believer, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Listen to how the Amplified Version puts it. He says, oh God, I love this. Hallelujah. Withstand him, it says. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. Now, I really like that line. I like that phrase. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. What does that mean? Be sensitive to be able to stop him at the very beginning of his attack. Be sensitive enough to be able to stop him at the very beginning of his attack. Don't let him have any ground. Don't let him take any ground. That's exactly what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27 said in the King James Version. It says, don't give him a foothold. Don't give opportunity. Now Peter is saying to us, withstand him in the faith at his onset. At his, means at the very beginning of his attempt to deceive you, to steal from you, to attack you, stand and refuse to give ground. A lot of believers, what happens to us many times, we give up so much ground. We give up so much ground, and then when we've given up so much ground, it becomes so difficult to take it back. We have to fight harder than necessary to take it back, because in the first place, we should never have given him that ground. Remember, this is coming from a man who knows what he's talking about, Peter. It's coming from a man who knows exactly what he's talking about. He says, withstand him in the faith at his onset. Then he says, rooted and established. Glory to God. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings or attacks, are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So you are not the only one Satan is attacking. Many times he wants you to believe, this is part of his deception. You know, he traffics in lies and deception. The Bible calls him the father of lies. Anything that comes out of the mouth of Satan is a lie. In fact, anytime Satan says something to you that is negative, you should start rejoicing, because you know he's lying. If Satan says to you, you are not going to come out of this situation, you should start rejoicing. you should start celebrating, because you know your day of deliverance is right around the corner. If Satan says to you, you are a failure and you will never win, you should start rejoicing, because that means you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. If Satan says this sickness is going to kill you, you should start rejoicing, because you know that healing is going to be your portion. In fact, healing is already your portion and the manifestation is on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, knowing this attacks, it's not just you. You are not the only one. But Satan wants you to believe that you are the only one. Why? Because it serves his purpose. If you can believe you are the only one, then it dramatically reduces your ability to withstand. Because he'll say to you, well, you are the only one. You know why this is happening to you? Because there's something about you that makes it so that God has abandoned you. See, these other believers, their cases are not that way. Their stories are not like yours. But you, look at you. Look, there's nobody in this world who's going through what you are going through right now. Why are you under this attack? It's because of a failure in your life. It's because you are about to suffer a major loss. So it serves its purpose to lie to us and say to us, we are the only ones enduring this attack. But it's not true. The Bible says, knowing that this same attack is being dealt with, being encountered by your brethren all over the world. But this is the good news, folks. If you look at that next verse, in verse 10, he says that our Father, the God of all grace, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, he will establish you, he will strengthen you, he will settle you. Amen. When you come through this attack and you win, there's great favor, there's great blessings. There's an avalanche of heaven's blessings that is coming upon you at the end of this particular encounter. That's why you must stand. You must win. You must take your place. You must not give Satan a way to defeat you. No matter what you are going through, I know sometimes it can get very tough. I know sometimes it can be very hard. I know sometimes our resistance sometimes slips away from us and we don't even know if we have the ability to hold on. But yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because our God, remember who the source of our strength is? Even when we feel weak, the Bible says he gives strength to the weak. Hallelujah. Young men will grow weary. Amen. Youth will faint. But the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40, remember this is one of the scriptures we've read in these studies, that's the source of our help. That's the source of our authority. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from God, the God who created the heavens and the earth. Remember, even when you feel weak, even when you feel like you can't make this, even when you feel like you can't withstand this anymore, remember that God is strengthening you. If you would wait on him, if you hold on to his word, God will cause strength to be infused into your life and you become established. You'll be filled with might by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory be to God. You have the ability to withstand. God wouldn't say stand in the evil day if you did not have the ability to withstand. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, we've looked at that where he talked about the weapons of our warfare. He says, having done all, stand therefore. God wouldn't say stand therefore if we did not have the ability to stand there. Amen. And when this is all said and done, glory to God, there's victory on the other side. There's victory on the other side. There's glory on the other side. There is glory on the other side. There's glory on the other side. You will win. So we need to learn. We have to understand this. These are important principles where our spiritual authority is concerned. And a number of things that affect our ability to play this defense well, we're going to talk about. And we're going to make it sandwiched. I don't really have the liberty now at this point. We've gone on for so long in this series. Praise God. It's awesome. The Lord has blessed us. The Holy Spirit is giving us illumination. We're excited about it. But also, we're at the point now where we have to start winding this down. So we don't have the liberty, we don't have the luxury of being able to do an extensively expanded teaching in this. But suffice to say, we as believers, as God's children, we have been given authority. But in addition to being given authority, it is our place to learn to stand, to withstand against the onslaught of the enemy. Remember where it says there, right there, it says, withstand him in faith at the onset. I really like that. At the very beginning. At the beginning of that attack, don't even give him room. Right? Don't go around, don't cry for a little bit and then you give him room, he comes in. You know, don't succumb and yield to that fear. And then you give him room, he steals a little bit. And now you have to fight a lot harder to get it back. No, don't let that happen. At his onset, you withstand him. At his onset, you withstand him. You stand your ground. You take your shield of faith. You take your weapons of warfare. You take the keys of the kingdom. You plead the blood of Jesus. You take the word of God. At his onset, right there at the very beginning. And then if you do that, you will win. You will win. I know we need to close tonight. There's one more scripture that I was going to read. I think we can just get into that tonight and then the Holy Spirit will help us. We'll pick it up from there. Next week, James chapter 4 verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. I want to read especially two verses right there in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Not two verses actually, two versions of that scripture. It's all in line with everything that we're talking about tonight. There's an aspect of defense when it comes to walking in spiritual authority and dominion. There's an aspect of defense. Remember that scripture we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29? Jesus said, if you are going to take a strong man, what belongs to a strong man, you first of all have to be stronger than him. You have to bind him. Then you have to go into his territory and take what belongs to him. And Satan is trying to say to you and to me, I am stronger than you. And we are saying to him, because we have knowledge, we have understanding, we're well balanced in our mind, we have clarity, we have revelation, we are the eyes of our understanding are open, we are walking in the spirit of wisdom, we have sensitivity, perception, discernment. We are saying to him, no, Satan, we have been given authority over you. And the reason we can say that is because we have that revelation from the word of God. We have been given the keys of the kingdom of God. Satan may say, oh, well, if you have authority over me, then why is your life unraveling before you? Right? Why haven't you been able to stop it? And we can say, we've stopped it. You are stopped in the name of Jesus. All of this is just a smoke screen. You are just like this roaring lion, toothless bulldog. Amen. Making noise, trying to confuse us. But really, you are stopped. All of this is just a smoke screen. You are stopped. You are a failure. You are done. It's over. Forget it. Forget it. Amen. Stand your ground. In that evil day, stand your ground. I got to close this. James chapter 4 verse 7. Let's read two versions of the Bible right here. Let's read first. Let's read the King James first, and then let's read the Amplified and read one more version, and then I'm going to close tonight. James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. So get under God's authority. Get under God's dominion. Walk in obedience. Walk in submission. Walk in humility. It's exactly what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Submit yourself to God. Then he said, resist the devil. That's withstand him. Resist him. Stop him. Remember how you resist arrest? Well, we're not supposed to. By law, but you know how people, what is described as somebody resisting arrest, right? Is they are fighting back and they are trying to not be captured and they are taking their ground.
Say, resist the devil, and then what will happen? He will flee from you. In the Amplified Version, it says this, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. So be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. And then I love the complete Jewish Bible translation, the complete Jewish Bible version, the CJB. Listen to this. It says, therefore, submit to God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary, and he will flee from you. Take a stand against the adversary. That's what it means to resist him. No, you are a liar, Satan. I take a stand against you. I forbid you. You can't do that in the name of Jesus. I refuse to give you access. You can't have that. You cannot have that. That belongs to me. You cannot have that. In the name of Jesus, release your hold. Lose it. In the name of, I stand against you. I forbid you. Satan, stop. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. You can't come in here. You can't take that. You can't take him. You can't take her. You can't take mine. That which belongs to me. You can't have it. In the name of Jesus. Be it your loved ones, be it people that are close to you, be it people that are under the torment of the enemy that Satan is trying to deceive and is trying to steal and is trying to destroy their lives. You withstand him. No, you can't have that, Satan. First, you submit yourself to God. You walk in obedience to God. There are even scriptures, we'll come back to this. There are scriptures that say, so obey God. Stand up to the devil and he'll run away from you. Amen. I read more of those versions when we start off in our next session next week. Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Father, we honor you tonight. We give you our glory and we give you our praise. Father, we bless your holy name. You alone deserve it. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for granting us illumination in this service. Thank you, Father, for enlightening the eyes of our understanding. Thank you for giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and your word. We take our place tonight. We give you praise. We declare we are the stronger one. We declare we refuse to give room. We will not give Satan a way to defeat us. In the name of Jesus, we withstand him. We are sober, we are diligent, we are well balanced in our minds. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are more than conquerors. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us tonight. We're out of time and we got to go. Hallelujah. What a blessed teaching service. I trust God that you continue to revelate and meditate all that the Holy Spirit ministered to us tonight and grow in the reality of those, the revelation of those things in the name of Jesus. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.